Amy.
I'm Wendell.
And I'm Patrick.
And
this is
Yes
But Why
Podcast.
Well, computers, you know, they're as reliable as they're going to be, so sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. I had one where I spent the whole evening, we had a wonderful conversation, and then the computer turned off right at the end, and I lost the entire
thing.
It was terrible.
That happened to me on a videography gig. It was the awards ceremony. First place.
Wow.
And the camera. Just out of nowhere. I lost that one clip that I actually needed.
Wow.
And also, my second camera had someone walk by, like, right at the time that we would have cut to the other camera.
Right.
Oh, yep. Nope. That sucked.
So, you said that you did improv classes in town. What theater did you do improv classes with?
Gold Town.
Awesome. When did you go through?
Whew. I think it was like a year and a half ago. Yeah, about a year and a half. Because I just had my year anniversary at the production company I'm working with, which is how I met them. So, yeah.
Tell me about the production company.
it's called Three or Less Productions. And the name comes from being able to drink a beer in three or less drinks. I did have to do that as a, you know, initiation. Had to. Those were air quotes.
but three or less drinks?
I don't three know or less drinks. Drink the beer in three or less.
Oh, like sips.
I guess you could call them sips. You know,
well, I'm imagining, like, I thought, like, you had to have three drinks and one of them had to be a beer.
That could also work. It's also my typical Tuesday night.
I was like, three or less, the number of movies we plan to make before things don't go well. Oh. What kind of production company is it? Don't mean to insult it.
Yes. Well, we do mainly comedy, so we do, like, a lot of comedy sketches, and we're actually writing an animated series right now, which is super fun, so we have, like, the whole writer's room thing going on, and then, you know, of course, to make the money, because we're a regular, you know, relatively small company, we do, like, you know, corporate hype videos, commercials, and things like that, too. Like, we tape for Ballet East Ballet, and, you know, like, some videography gigs here and there, but... Mm. Yeah, whatever keeps the money coming in so that we can keep producing our own stuff. And I think next on our list, we want to write a feature, Miss Screenwriter.
Oh, cool.
We want to produce our own feature. Like, that's our next thing that we really want to do. So,
yeah.
We'll see. But comedy.
Comedy focus.
Yeah, definitely comedy focus for sure.
Are all the people in the production company people you met at Cold Town?
Yep. Andy Gonzalez-Bendixson is the main guy there. And then Christopher Alvarenga, who just recently moved to LA. So he was in the company with us, but now he's kind of doing three or less LA. So he still kind of does things out there with us, like photography and whatnot. And then we also use Alex Ibarra every now and then as a second camera. So it's like... it was nice because I got really comfortable with those guys over the course of improv, and, you know, you saying yes to each other all the time helps a lot.
Helps develop a good and, I think, healthy, like, team building. Like, you can work together really well after you've done improv together.
Well, and it's like you can almost kind of feel where the other person is going, too, you know? It's like you kind of get used to the thought process of the other person so you can see what they're seeing in their head. And so that helps a lot whenever Andy's like, go over there and set up this, and then I want you to get the, and I'll be right back. And I'm like, I actually knew exactly what he meant. Odd. All right. But, you know, and so that's really nice. And just being a part of a creative team is something I've been wanting for a while.
Yeah.
And then it kind of gave me the opportunity to let go of the waiting tables aspects of my life.
Oh, good.
So I could finally quit doing that, and then now it's just pretty much anything I do to make money, I make within the industry, which is what my goal was all along.
Good.
But I kind of just fell into it, you know? It's like how weird how things just open up, and then you just kind of fall into them.
Yeah. I think that sometimes if you... the weirdest part is that sometimes it's in the moments when you're not trying that things happen. Or the moments where you think, oh, I should give up, and then you realize, no, this is some other thing happens that shows you, no, you can't do that. You are
Which
needed.
Is so frustrating, though, in this industry. I used to be told, like, all the time, like, you're trying too hard. You're trying too hard. You need to try less. And you just kind of just want to be like...
Yeah.
That was a metaphorical bird. That's what that was.
Well, but the thing is that a lot of times those people who are giving you that advice are people who have just been through it the way you now have been through it. And I'm sure there's 20-year-olds you meet, you know, in improv who you'll say the same thing to. Where you're like, hey, don't worry about it. Just let it happen. It'll all work out. And they're like, great. You know?
But best advice ever. Appreciate it.
But, I mean, it's almost like to align it with, like, say, dating. You ever meet somebody who's, like, looking for a boyfriend too hard?
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, okay, listen, no one is going to go on a date with you right now. Like, you're insane. You want it too hard. Like, you need to, like, do something else. That's why, like, half the people in the world end up dating people in their improv class, because they stop trying, they take an improv class, and then who knew there were so many dudes around? I had no idea.
I think it also comes back to the always saying yes to each other. I think that one, that helps a little bit develop the relationship.
Oh, well, I think it provides for a safer environment. I know that there's a lot of hookups in comedy that are not safe. But, or in theater that are not safe. But improv, I think, helps. Because if you really embrace it as a lifestyle, like the yes and lifestyle versus, like, just doing it on stage because you have to.
Mm-hmm.
If you, like, really embrace... Because the SN lifestyle is pretty much just sort of being kind to people around you and being open to the chaos. Like, yes and, by the way, really helped me with parenting.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
It has...
Yes, just, and would you like the other shoelace?
It's, like, made me... He's literally tied himself up in your shoelace.
It's kind of impressive,
hilarious.
But it's impressive. He's going to be a Boy Scout this one.
Yeah, right?
Tying the knots.
We'll see. I worked for the Boy Scouts at one point at a temp job, and it was a little weird. So I don't know if we're going to do that.
Huh.
Yeah, we'll see. They'll have some... You know, in Austin, they'll have something like, you know, the Hippie Scouts or something.
Will require you to go outside. You're going to have to go outside a lot.
Yeah, and wear patchouli.
Yeah. Like, wear it and just wear the... Just take the incense with you in your bag. Excuse me, I need to clear the space. There we go. Yes. All right, now we can begin.
Oh, let's not lie. I mean, you know, we saged the house before we brought him home, and we saged his room. We are definitely those people.
I have them, too. The sage, like, smudge sticks.
I know you can't see it, audience, but there are also two different displays of crystals on the walls.
It's
in
true.
The house.
There's
so.
A lot of quartz in here.
A lot of
psychic vibration.
A lot of psychic vibration.
I knew that, so what does that say?
Yeah, we went to Boston for the holidays, and the place that we had to bring him was this little mystical shop in Salem, Massachusetts that we both love so much. So we, like, drove down to Salem in the snow and, like, pulled the stroller out and, like, pushed it through the snow to this little shop. Went in, and we were the only people in there. We spent, like, 45 minutes talking to the clerk about, you know, just fun,
you have
mystical
to talk to the
stuff.
Clerk. The clerk knows so many things.
It was so great.
Have you been to Ancient Mysteries here?
No. No, clearly we need to.
It's a little bit of a smaller shop, but they always have really cool people working behind the counter. And
are they
there's
pro-child?
There's also a tarot reader around there, too, so that's nice. Pro-child? I mean, they have to be, right?
No, not every store is pro-child at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, but, like, for the Ancient Mysteries, for, like, the hippie stores, I feel like they prefer you to be breastfeeding in the store. Like, they would just be like, no, could you please stop and breastfeed your child right now?
Well, my concern is just him eating the rocks.
That's fair.
Right, and I feel like they might as well. I mean, as we've seen, he likes putting stuff in his mouth.
Oh,
you know.
Wow. Yep. Okay, that's fair.
So you're making all of your money through acting and production work? That's great.
And then every now and then when I can't make the ends meet, I do a freelance online course building. So I just pick one of those up every now and then just do that, which is super fun, and sit at home and...
Oh, right on.
Together, and I actually still end up using my Premiere and my Photoshop a lot in that, so it's like I still end up keeping the skills
going. Yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't know. I just, what is that? Peter Dinklage, I think. He did the speech to some graduates, maybe. And he was talking about how he was working in a software place and he was unhappy and he didn't want to do it anymore. And then he would just, like, decided, he was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm only going to do what I want to do, and that's how I'm going to make money. And I'm like, it's not that easy. But it was kind of like a moment like that for me, where I was, I'd been working at a restaurant for like 6 years. The restaurant itself started just going downhill, like making weird choices, and like losing the individual identity. And I was like, I felt like I was fighting really hard for the individual identity of this restaurant. And then I just finally realized, I'm like, this isn't my fight. My fight is elsewhere. And then so I just kind of was like, I'm out. And then like left. And then, yeah, ever since then, it's like, it's been a hustle. Don't get me wrong. Like, the hustle is definitely there. But things just kind of keep falling in my lap, like a casting or headshots or, you know, do this editing gig or help me shoot this. Or, and so it just kind of just keeps coming in a steady enough flow.
Good.
That things are working out okay.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange. And it is kind of weird when you're, like, constantly freelancing everything in your life. Like, I have a giant wall calendar. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I use Expo markers on it.
Uh-huh.
And I love it so much. But yeah, it's like at the end of the month, I kind of like to sit back and look at it and just like see all the ridiculously wild things I did that month. Like, audition, like 12 audition tapes for these people. I did 2 sets of headshots for these people. I edited this. And I'm just like, wow. It's just weird. It's like gives variety to life, which is kind of nice.
I think my baby might want to be a dentist because he always goes for my teeth.
Yep. Go right in there. He's like, hey, you want to eat a shoelace?
Let me tell you about the shoelace.
It'd be great.
Also, maybe because my husband likes to make him watch Little Shop of Horrors. It's my husband's favorite musical. And he's watched it with the baby multiple times. And maybe he wants to be Steve Martin. I mean, don't we all? He giggles. He gets a little giggle. Okay, my feet. But I'm trying to talk. You put your hand in my mouth. I can't quite talk.
Just don't get him a Venus flytrap. No.
Well, I'm very proud of you. That's really awesome. What a wonderful, like, thing to have happen. Like, that it, you know, you're able to make the money that you need to make out of the work that you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie though. I mean, it is stressful, you know, never really knowing where your next gig is gonna come from, what it's gonna be. But then there's also kind of a lot of fun in that stress. And so I kind of just had to ask myself, what am I willing to sacrifice for? Like, either way, I'm gonna be stressed. Do I want to be stressed at a job that I hate, or do I want to be stressed in a job that I love and find beauty and excitement in that stress? So, yeah. And that's a hustle either way. But yeah, that's like right whenever I quit my job, and then that the Westworld thing fell into my lap, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that worked out.
Well, what's the Westworld thing? Was it the South By thing?
Yeah, the South By thing. I actually helped out with the casting on it, and then I also auditioned. And so that was my first casting that I got to help out on. We saw like something like 120 people in like 2 days or something.
Oh, great.
And so,
I mean, awesome. Wow.
I mean, a lot of fun Austin actors and people that came through, and it was interesting to see the other side of things, you know, not being the one going to the audition, but actually watching the audition. And the director, his name's David Wally, freaking blew my mind. Like, we had 120 people submit tapes, and then we had about 70 people come back in for like callbacks because they had to fill like 50 roles.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of those people that came in for a callback, he went directly up to them and greeted them by name. Never seen this guy before in their lives. So most of us were like, hi, you are, you know, but he, every single time he came out of the audition room, he would walk up to the 3 new people that were there and be like, oh, hi, Sion, or hi, Liz, or hi. I'm just like, this is amazing. Like, just his dedication is like, I just want people to feel welcome. And he went out of his way to learn everyone's name.
That's so
great.
He
wasn't even cast yet.
Yeah.
In callbacks. I was like, that's incredible. And he applied that to the entire project, which was just kind of magnificent to watch.
All right, pause 1 second. He's definitely starting to go. I'm going to put him to bed.
Oh, we're going to do a backflip.
I'm going to put him to bed. Uh-huh.
Yes, my word.
You might cry a little, but it's gonna be okay. He's super tired.
Oh, bye. I felt like we bonded just now.
Yeah.
Made a moment.
Yeah. He loves you.
Bye.
All right. See?
Wow.
He's amazing.
That was like less than a minute.
Yeah, I mean, he's not asleep, but he's fine. He's in his room. He's doing his thing. He's fine now.
Yeah, you were lucky.
Yeah, right? I'm the most lucky.
I was the baby that screamed and cried every time my parents handed me to another person.
I mean, he doesn't totally love it. As far as, like, when I... If I leave him with somebody, I have to kind of sneak out. I'll be like, can you distract him? And then I'm going to leave. But, like, in public, he's really good.
Hmm.
What's the name of your production company again?
Three. So the actual number three or less.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I insulted it.
Not really. You can't really insult that production company. It's only up for us. It's very exciting.
Oh, God. Well, it sounds really great.
Well, it was nice to get in on, like, a smaller company, because last time I tried to work with another production company, they didn't really take the time to show me everything. Whereas in this case, like, I've actually gotten to learn everything. And then, like, they take the time to actually teach me what they're talking about and what it means and why you do certain things. And so, and it's just like continual knowledge, you know? You kind of always feel like the mountain is always there. You're like, I have so much to learn about cameras. I have so much to learn about light. I have so much to learn about, like, sound and everything. But it's an exciting mountain. It's an exciting mountain to climb. And also, it helps with the acting. Like, you know, because now whenever they change a lens, I'm like, oh, so we're changing this from this frame to this frame. So now I understand it's, like, right here, right? And they're like, oh, yeah. So it helps, like, your brain to understand, like, what the look they're going for is when you're in the other seat.
Yeah.
You know, which I didn't think would affect me as much as it has.
Huh. Yeah. I mean, I guess the more knowledge you have, the different your perspective is.
That's what people say.
Yeah. I mean, if you only want to look at things a certain way, then you can.
Yeah.
The beauty of being a person, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, in your production company, you say there's so much you have to learn. Are the other people that are in the production company with you, like, been doing this for a long time? And how did they take you, a novice, as you're saying, into the group?
Well, Andy's been doing it for a very long time. He actually started it with his brothers. His brothers moved on and started doing other things. And but he kind of just kept the company going. And he's had people come and go. And, like, at one point, they were even connected to UT. And so they had, like, an internship program. So there was, like, a whole bunch of interns that were working with him for a little while. And so he got the teaching mode down pretty well. And then one time I was in improv and I was like, hey, look, you know, I really need to do some... I want to do some PA work. Basically how it started out. I was like, I want to learn the behind the scenes. I, you know, I would eventually like to produce my own stuff, like direct my own stuff, but I don't want to be that person that's like, hey, I have a script. Can you guys produce it for me? Or, you know, like, I wanted to understand it enough that I wouldn't get shoved out of the project.
Yeah.
Which has happened to me before when I wrote things, you know, it's like you just kind of get squeezed out. And I was like, I didn't want to get squeezed out. I wanted to know exactly what was going on. I wanted to be in the planning part. I wanted to be knowledgeable about what was going on around me. And so it just kind of went off from there. And Andy recognized the fact that I'm kind of a sponge. That's what he says. I'm a sponge. But it's just, I just really want to learn it so much that it's like everything he just handed to me, I just kind of kept running with. And kept, you know, like, he'd teach me one thing, and then I'd go home, and I'd look it up, and I'd learn more about it, and then come back, and then ask him questions about it. And so I think that was the desire to learn that just kind of sped up my process to where he was like, all right, well, you want to learn? Lynn, you want to be second camera on our next gig? And I'm like, yeah. But that was, of course, the one I lost, the first place winner. But, you know, mistakes. But, you know, I mean, that's how it has to happen. You know, you have to make mistakes so that you learn it, and then you... know not to do it that way next time. And as artists, we always have to be okay with never making 100% perfect work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, you have to be okay with that because you always have to have somewhere else to go. If it was 100% perfect, then why would you try again?
Well, I always think that, like, doing this kind of stuff is like chaos, you know? Yeah. And if you can be okay with being in the chaos, then you should be all right. I heard an interview with Natalie Portman speaking about motherhood the same way, so I was like, oh yeah, I think that's probably why I'm okay with the chaos, is that, I'm used to that. Like, you know, I run a sketch show, it doesn't go the same way ever, you know what I mean? Like, there are so many things, and sometimes people come to me and they'll, you know, they're like, oh, I can't believe this happened, I'm like, ah, I'll be alright. And they're like, how can you be so easygoing? And I was like, well, I could be mad, but I don't have time. Or, like, there's just not enough, like, I've done this 3 or 4 times, so I'll just handle it. It's fine.
See, I admire that, though. Like, I thrive on chaos. I get more anxious when I'm not in chaos, weirdly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
But at the same time, like, my initial reaction is not as cool as yours. Like, I still have my initial reaction of slight anxiety and panic whenever chaos happens. But then I just kind of, like, push through.
Oh, I mean, that's all I'm
doing. You know?
Doing.
But I wish I could, like, have the whole,
well,
like,
I'm telling you a story about how I'm great. You know, like, I'm not.
I mean, I'm kind of wonderful, but, you know,
what I mean is, like, of course I have that moment of, like, oh, my God, what's going to happen? Like, I even have the moment of, like, you know, when somebody bails on me or somebody, like, does something crazy and screws everything up, you know, like, calls the day of and says they can't be in a show. And you're all like, and it's happened so often. And so, I mean, the first few times and don't be wrong, every time it happens, I get mad and I get, like, annoyed and I get anxious about having to fix it. But I realize that I try to decide whether or not yelling at this person is actually going to change their behavior for anyone else. If it doesn't, then I don't care. I'm just going to write down how much I will be able to deal, how much, like, I'm going to take from you. Like, you know, you definitely got a peg down on the, like, I want to keep working with you situation. But, you know, people want to work or they don't, and sometimes they want to be part of your project. And there's a lot of people who are very excited to do things and then, you know, say yes and then they can't do it. So I try to be easygoing about that kind of stuff just because, like, with my show, I've had an ever-evolving cast in the show. And so people are in and out. And I used to be sad about it, and there's been people that I have been sad about, but it's like, you know, it's okay. It's fine.
And yeah, and even at the same time, it's like people come in and out, but then when you bring in new people, it brings in new ideas, it brings in new thoughts and processes, and,
yeah,
you know, it makes it grow in a way that it probably wouldn't have grown if people hadn't cycled.
Well, yeah, plus, if you think about it, too, especially in the kind of improv community we have in Austin, like, people take classes, they feel confident about doing their own stuff, they start being in shows for a while. I would say that's about 2 years of being in shows before they realize they can run their own shows. Then the people who are interested in running their own shows will start running their own shows. And at about the 3 or 4 year mark, either you leave, because people leave, or you start doing your own thing. And a lot of the people who start doing their own thing no longer want to be in somebody else's thing. You know, so I find that I will get people. I mean, some people do. Some people are, like, psyched to be in my thing because they don't have to run it. They just come in, they brainstorm ideas, they get handed scripts, they read them, they're good in them, they do a show, they walk away. Like, but those are the people who, like, show up to rehearsal and do the good work, and then they're nice, whatever. But some people, like, you know, they're on their own journey, they're trying to learn stuff, they come in for a month or two, they write a couple sketches, then they're too busy doing their own stuff. Oh, I just started this, I just started that. It's fine. I mean, I can't take it personally every time. It'd be like taking it personally when you don't get an audition. It's not my journey. If they don't want me to be part of the thing, like, I don't, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's easier than dating, but it's you know, it's just years of being able to, like, shake it off. But with your production company stuff, you're doing different things. The sketch show is the same sketch show. It's a formula that I put together so I could maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just do the formula. And when I'm feeling tired or can't handle it, I just do the formula and it'll always work out.
There's comfort in that. I'm like, that's nice though.
It keeps happening. It's every month. Yeah. That's it's the only nice. Thing that keeps me tethered to the theater world right now with the baby and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it keeps me involved in writing and doing that kind of stuff.
Which you do. You need to be writing. You're a really good writer.
I appreciate that. Thank you for that. I hope I am. I work hard on a lot of it, but I realized I was putting a lot of my effort into sketch writing. Have you been writing sketch? Did you take any classes in sketch or are you just writing sketch?
No, I haven't. Yeah, we're just kind of writing sketch as like our team, our writer's team. We had been meeting weekly there for a while, but then, yeah, like you said, like people's schedules and getting everyone on the same page. So we haven't met in a while, but the sketch writing's fun, but then the writing the animated series has been a whole lot of fun because there's somewhere to go with it.
You don't have to tell me this if it's, like, still in such the beginning stages that you don't want to, like, reveal it on the internet or anything, but do you have an animator, like, a person who's going to do the drawing part, or are you just writing the script first and then you're going to seek out an animator?
Script first and then animator, basically because there are actually a lot of festivals that take animated scripts. Huh. And then you go to the festival for that, and then they if they like the script, then it goes from there. You know, like, you can find people that are interested in either buying the script or helping you produce the script or doing something like that.
Huh.
We do have, like, an animation concept that we want to do, but we don't have an actual animator on board yet. We wanted to finish, I think we're on episode 10 now. And so I think we want to get to 14 episodes before we submit, but I think a lot of the places only really require like 6 or 3. It depends on which one you try and submit to, but we wanted to have a full broad concept because our concept's a little interesting and it's fun, which I unfortunately can't talk about.
Sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just fun to do and like a bunch of minds coming together into the same concept that's already a weird concept is just, I can't even, you know, like, I can't even. It's fun to watch that creative process happen, I guess, is the point of that.
Yeah. No, that's fascinating. I did not know. Of course there's a festival for that.
There's a
I
festival
mean,
for everything.
I'm starting to realize that.
Texas Short Film Festival the other day. I'm like, what?
Yeah, last year I was a host of Q&As at Austin Film Festival, and I was host of a couple of the animation shorts. So a few of the animation things. So I got to watch a bunch of different kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting just to see the different way people put things together and then to talk to them about it after, because the cool thing about being the host of the Q&A is you get all your questions answered. Like, you can go to one of those things and sometimes raise your hand and nobody ever asks you, but if you're the guy with the microphone, you get your questions.
No, you're like, answering this.
He's like, tell me what you do this.
Yeah. I will say the weird thing about writing animation scripts and doing that is you have to paint the scene. You have to paint it in such a way that the audience will be able to know exactly what you are going for.
Mm.
So it almost makes the animation script even longer because you have to paint the animation scene along with what's actually going on.
Is it stage direction, or do you mean like in the text of the conversation they're having, they have to be clear about the world around them?
Well, it's a little bit of both, especially with the concept we're using.
Sure.
But it's more, yeah, the stage direction and like showing what the audience would be seeing so that they can see it in their head.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
But it's animation, so it's obviously a little bit weirder than it would be like if you were shooting a film where it's like abstract, I guess. You know, like thinking Family Guy or the way things cut or like the way things come back and forth or a giant lizard coming around or, you know, like it's just different than like it would be if it was just a regular script.
I feel like the Family Guy is almost like a herald in its way with a lot of tap out scenes.
Yep.
Like if you watch it, you know what I mean? Because it goes through, there's various scenes. Different plot lines. A couple of characters are going through different things. And then there's pop outs, usually in the Peter parts. And Peter's kind of the Kramer because Seinfeld was also a Herald format. But yeah, when you watch those
when you watch the style sometimes. I have a hard time with comedy these days because I've studied it and taught it for so long that now when I watch comedy, I just watch the formula.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
It's like being a surgeon, you know. You've seen the inside of the body and now you can never see it any other way.
I guess so. Sure. I don't know what being a surgeon is like.
It took a weird metaphor. But
like, I feel like it might be different.
I feel like it's a little more it's fine. It's a little more complex than that. But no, like,
yes,
you know,
being
like,
a comedian is just like being a surgeon.
It's very intricate. No, but no, being able to like see where, I mean, it does that with movies too. When you become a filmmaker, you're like, you see a shot that someone took and you're like, oh yeah. Oh, I can totally see how they came up with that shot and what they did, and they totally put that on a dolly, and they did this. You know, so it's like you don't quite.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm
see
always
it
afraid
the
to. I'm always afraid. Because of that exact thing, I am like literally afraid to learn too much about filmmaking. I know that sounds crazy. When you were talking about the production thing, and you were talking about how you wanted to know how to do it, there's a little part of me that's actually the opposite. Like, I want to write scripts, hand them to people, and walk away.
So it's like a magician. I'm just kidding. You don't want to see the magic tricks. You know, you don't want to know how that happens.
Occasionally. You know? I mean, don't get me wrong. Before the end of my life, I guarantee I will know. I mean, I told my uncle. My uncle lives in LA and he's an actor. And so he's always involved in tons of different stuff. And we're always talking about it. And I told him that when Dalvis gets older and he no longer wants me to be hanging around, I'm just gonna come to LA and live with him for a little while and be the oldest PA. Like I just want, and I imagine it like Strangers with Candy, right?
Oh god,
that's me. I'm Jerry, but I'm a PA, and I've got like a fanny pack filled with
fanny pack meter
filled with like chocolate chip cookies and Band-Aids and I'm available all
I see
the time.
You sliding right into AD very quickly with
see,
the fanny
I just
pack.
I feel like...
I think that could happen.
And I know that... I'm hoping that in the next 15, 16 years, while I wait for that, that this whole Me Too movement opens stuff up for women and older women, so I won't not get the job because I'll be a 50-year-old overweight lady who's trying to get a job in the movie industry. Instead, it'll be so progressive at that point that I will be first in line. So much experience. How could you not have had this job before? I don't know anything about being a PA. I'm ready to do it.
Yes, but we want your life experience and your status. Come on.
Exactly. We're only hiring mom PAs.
Oh my gosh.
I'm telling you.
Especially because this is a children's set. So we need this to be handled. You're like, no. No more children.
No more children. I've got the
actors
one.
Are children, though. Well, I mean, let's be honest.
Adult children.
We're
but...
a bunch of frickin' children is what we are. Oh, it's the worst.
Oh, man. But now that I know that you work at a production company, next time I am itching to PA, I'll call you.
Let me know.
I was like, because I do really actually want to learn how to do it.
Yeah, we do actually need people. We actually just shot for the Beer Museum, and we could have used another PA.
The Beer Museum?
The Beer
there
Museum.
Is a Beer Museum?
There is a Beer Museum, and it's so fantastic. And they travel. Like, they'll meet you places and show their Beer Museum. It, like, comes with them. It's really cool. They eventually want to open up, like, an actual place where they'll have, like, a brewery, and then the Beer Museum will be attached. And I was like, that's awesome. But until then, we do their like their promo videos, and it's fun because it's like the history of beer.
That's great.
And so it's kind of like drunk history in a way, like where it's like, you know, it's obviously shot in this day and age, but we're trying to make it look like it was in like the Egyptian times or
sure.
colonial America. I'm like, no, that's very much my blue wall in my very new house. It's fine. But it's fun. It's yeah. We just finished episode 3 for that, and it's cute. I'll have to send you the first 2 episodes.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. That's super fun. Plus, Beer Museum is that in Austin?
Yep, they are in Austin.
Goodness,
I think they may travel to other areas in Texas, but yeah, based in Austin.
Wow, no, that's great.
And they have a cute baby named Simon.
Babies and beer.
I know the baby was in the last beer production.
Great.
Yes. That's and they so gave fun. Him a bottle that said beer on it. It was great. Oh, I hope I didn't just give that away. Oh, no, it's cute.
It's fine.
It's precious.
Our children audience drinking base beer. Is going to ruin the beer museum.
I feel like it's a good crowd. Into beer.
Yes.
That's so funny. So I feel like we've talked a lot about, like, your now, like, what's going great. And I'm so glad things are going great for you now. You can, like, walk it's in. Chugging. Like, I hadn't seen you in a while and then reconnected on Facebook and was like, oh, sweet. But I didn't know everything was so fabulous. So
well, I mean,
I'm glad we caught you in a good spot.
Crazy fabulous. But it's, you know,
it's
pretty
fabulous.
It's chugging. It's like a little choo-choo.
I'm going to say that I know a lot of people that have the goal that you had, which is to work full-time in the industry. And the fact that you're able to do that right now, even if you're just starting it, is huge. So it is good. It is. Everything is coming up Milhouse for you. Now, but first, I would love to go back. When I first connected with you, you were primarily acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you also, you know, had a day job, but you were doing the acting thing. Tell me how you, like, how did you start? Did you start doing theater in high school? Did you go to college for it? What's your origin story?
it's very superhero.
Yes.
So not that cool. Yeah. Oddly enough, I started everything in sixth grade. Yeah. I was in the smart person class they put you in. It was called SEMA for me.
Okay.
Or like whatever it was. Well, I remember very particularly that for whatever reason that day we were writing our own scenes. We were writing our own, like, sketches or something like that. And I just remember this one part, and I had to be two lawyers arguing against each other. And, yep, there was a lot of argue, and then argue the other side, argue, and then we got into a slapping competition. This is just me jumping back and forth, slapping myself in the face. Got really... I'm like, wow. But after that, my sixth grade teacher just walked up and handed me a flyer for an acting camp for that summer. And so, and it was called Acteen, and it was the same people that went around schools and did, like, the no drugs plays or whatever.
Oh, sure. That seems about the right time for that.
Yeah. Yeah. The say no or what is it?
Say no to drugs. Dare?
Dare, maybe. Yeah. But it was like a troop that went around and did that. And so I went to their summer camp, and I was the youngest one at the summer camp. Ooh. And yeah, just like we did a whole bunch of sketches and like we performed. And then from then on, I went to Performing Arts Junior High because I got the bug. Yep. So I went to a magnet school that had performing arts. So I did that. And this is actually really cute. I love this story. I got my first like real lead in one of the plays. I think I was in ninth grade. And it was called Carol at Christmas.
Ah.
I was Carol. And it was real cute. And I also played soccer at the time. We were on a trip and we were in the Embassy Suites. You know how Embassy Suites has like their happy hour or whatever like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was me and my mom and we were staying there and she was going through getting her white Zinfandel. She's like, I'll have a white Zinfandel. Do you think Carol would like a white Zinfandel as well? I'm like 15 years old, but I'm like, uh-huh. And so my mother and I shared a glass of white Zinfandel at the age of 15, but it was, I don't know, it was just, like, so cute to see my mom, like, celebrating and happy for me, and they didn't give me booze all the time, it was a one-time thing, but it was just such a cute moment between me and my mother, where she just, like, recognized that I did something that I really wanted to do, and she was, like, proud of me for it, and gave me alcohol. Weird. But then, you know,
the alcohol reward starts early.
It did. And then, yeah, high school, and I did, you know, plays and musicals all through high school, and then college, went to liberal arts college, did plays through there, and did I started doing film classes there.
Do you get a film degree or a theater degree?
Liberal arts degree.
Oh, like a general education degree.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, Sarah Lawrence.
Oh.
Yeah.
How's Sarah Lawrence? I always heard of it growing up because I'm from Boston and, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, here are a list of liberal arts schools you should go to. And Sarah Lawrence was definitely on that list. I did not apply there, but I remember being told I should go there.
Yeah, pretty much any artist has probably been told that. Or they've watched 10 Things I Hate About You, which was my reasoning.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, no, I'm a touch too old for that movie. Never really saw it. Wasn't really a fan of what's his name. I'm so sorry. What's his name?
Heath Ledger?
Yep, Heath Ledger. He's all right.
Yeah, we're just going to skip right over that.
I'm terribly sorry.
It's
I'm
fine.
Sad he's dead, but, you know.
I don't believe you.
I don't
you.
Really spend
I don't believe you. I don't believe you when you said that.
I don't know him as a person.
All right, well then, Larry Miller was super awesome. He's a character actor. I don't know if you know Larry Miller.
I don't.
Well, he was the... If you haven't seen the movie, he's like, tells his daughter to wear a pregnant belly so that she doesn't go out and get pregnant on prom night. It's really great. But anyway, I ended up being in a short film with him later on, and he was one of my favorite character actors of all time. So that was, like, super cool. So two things from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Wow.
You should watch it.
Yeah, I will now.
But Sarah Lawrence, yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. It's like you either got people that got there on scholarship and are out on student loans and will be paying for them for the rest of their lives.
Sure.
She raises her hand. And then there's people that go there that have, like, ridiculously rich families that just, you know, these kids end up going for, like, 6 years. And you're just
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I can't do that. That's a lot of time and a lot of money. But it's just a weird mix of, like, rich kids that want to get away from their parents that are just, like, living their artist life and they're doing their thing. And it's so fabulous. And then you have the rest of us that are like, no, this is a really amazing school. There's, like, 30 people in one class or 15 people in one class, like small class sizes. We didn't have any tests. It was all papers. So I wrote like a 40-page paper on circadian dysfunction and bipolar disorder, which was weird. I really liked that one. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
I wrote a 10-page paper in Italian. Like, I don't know. It was like a really great education and a really great experience. And I'm so glad I did it. And I met a lot of awesome people. So many awesome people. And did some crazy wild things in New York, one of which was bartending and body paint. That one was fun. We all had those years. But yeah, it was really...
Did you live in New York City after?
Or no, a lot of my friends did. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was like 25 minutes outside the city, so it was like you could just grab the train and then go and play like you lived in the city. It was
fun.
But a lot of my friends did. They graduated and they moved to Brooklyn, you know, before it was like crazy expensive like to live there. And like, but they would have like four people
in a tiny
place.
Oh, it's been crazy expensive to live in.
It really has.
There's no time. You know when it wasn't crazy expensive to live in? When it was horrible.
That's so true. Okay, so not crazy expensive, but like you're still four people in like a 500 square foot apartment. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And so that's when I came back and I moved to Austin. I'm from Lubbock, Texas. So I was a little closer to my family, but still has the cushion.
Yeah, the far enough away that they can't come visit that often.
And it's like when they do visit, you're really excited about it.
Sure.
You know? Sure. and then, yeah, as soon as I moved to Austin, it was like I had no idea what I was doing. I had no clue where to even start. There was a moment when I thought about writing Sandra Bullock a letter for advice. I didn't do that. That's how confused I was, though. Like, I had no idea how to get an agent. I had no idea what to do about headshots. I didn't know how to build my resume. Thank you, liberal arts degree. You taught me nothing.
Well, I feel pretty confident that Sandra Bullock probably wouldn't have known much about the Austin film community or how to get started in this particular place because she didn't get started in here. Mm-mm. She lives here now, but that doesn't mean that she's, like, hanging out.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, like, in general, I was just like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know what to ask.
For those of you looking to write a letter to a celebrity for advice, I would suggest, Austin-wise, I would suggest Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
I feel confident he would answer.
All right.
And he might actually also be around.
You want to know my favorite thing that he did?
Tell me.
It's the very first thing he did. He was in an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. And he takes off his shirt and he mows a woman's lawn. Actual lawn.
As you should.
Oh my god. But yeah, that's probably the only thing I really liked him in. That and the Dazed and Confused role, because I mean, come on.
Sure. Good, though, when you go back and watch it now. In fact, when you go back and watch a lot of movies now, like, you can feel how different society is right now in 2018 when you watch old movies.
Mm.
Like, you can watch movies... Like, literally, I've been watching Friends because Friends is comforting. And it's also an easy thing to have on in the background when I'm, like, playing with the baby because, like, you know, I can occasionally be like, oh, Chandler.
No, I get it. Like, Scrubs.
Oh, I hear you. Right. But there's occasional moments where one of the guys says something that I'm all like, oh, that would never fly today. Or, like, the girls will react in a way where it's like, oh, they were just poor little ladies. They didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even know. They're in their, like, 40s, maybe 50s now. 40s. I'm sorry, ladies. 40s.
Yeah, we'll say 40s.
We're going to say 40s. I mean, I'm in my 40s, so probably not. You guys are
older than me, but it doesn't matter. What I'm saying is you probably had to deal with a lot of guff along the way.
Yeah.
That now, hopefully, it will be less so. Or at least in general in the world. You know what I mean? But so you watch those kinds of things and you're like, oh, boy. Yeah, so I watched Dazed and Confused the other day and I was all like, oh, oof. Yeah.
Biggest one, Hazing.
Yeah.
That one's taken a turn.
Well, that one went real bad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that has to happen in life, and I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like things have to go, like, really horrible, and then everyone goes like, whoa, okay, we're not gonna haze anymore, that's not cool, 75% of people hazed were dead this year, you know, or whatever.
That is a high amount.
Wow. But there's not a lot of hazing that's happening. They just super hard haze is what happens.
Dang.
I didn't go to a school that had hazing or anything. Like, there was no Greek life. It was just very, like...
Well, it was even
there
in
were about
20
of us, and then...
Like, seniors and sophomores.
Oh, yeah, that's what Dazed and Confused is.
Yeah, and by the time I finally got to be a senior, that's when the 75% of them had died from hazing.
Sure!
And so guess what we got to do? Okay, so we're going to pick you up in the middle of the night, so wear your favorite pajamas, and then we're going to take you to breakfast, and then we're going to braid each other's hair and talk about boys. I wanted to haze them.
What did you want to do to them?
I don't know.
What was done to you?
Because
you had a real Texas hazing.
There was a lot of mud. There was a lot of pushing things in mud. There was a lot of getting things poured on you. Like, I mean, it wasn't beer because we did it on school grounds.
Huh.
In my day, like, and that was like 2 years. That was like 2 years difference. And then, yeah, just in general, like, yelling at each other. I mean, we didn't do anything like chug beers or anything like that.
When I was in college, we had a, I went to a Catholic college, and the mascot was the Crusader, because they thought that was a good idea. And so everyone rejected that idea, and the unofficial mascot was the groundhog, because that, I don't know why. But anyway, there was a groundhog, so every Groundhog Day, there was a big drinking party that the whole school took part of. Aww. And years passed, up until maybe 2 or 3 years before I started attending the school, they would have it on campus, because drinking age was 18 for a while, and so they would have it just in the middle of campus. They would just party all night long, kegs everywhere, everyone was drunk, great times, but by the time I got there, it was 21. In fact, after my freshman year, the law changed from open containers. Like, I know this sounds crazy, but when I was a freshman in college, you were allowed somehow to have open beers in a car as you were driving down the road. And then they changed the law, and then you couldn't anymore. Mm. And we were really doubly breaking laws, because we weren't old enough to have the beer we had open in the car, but whatever. But yeah, they moved it to like this... random off the side of the road, like in the woods thing, and they would bus people from the school. Like, the seniors would all pay. And what's funny is I was a senior and I don't recall paying for this, but
you're gonna get a Venmo request now.
I'm going to
get a Venmo request after this.
It's gonna be like, you're right, you didn't pay, we still have you on a spreadsheet. Yeah, but it's like they got a bus, and then they bussed everybody from the campus to this like random patch of woods, and they put all the kegs out there and had like a big party. But so
at least they cared enough to get you a bus though.
Sure. Well, it wasn't the school, it was the students. So it was like the students put on the party. That used to be the school that put on the party and sanctioned it the way they sanctioned your hazing. But now they were like, yeah, we're not going to sanction underage drinking because like we'd all be liable. Now we're in a litigious world.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Yeah. The ups and downs of things going well.
Well, I did... The one thing I did like being on a private campus for Sarah Lawrence on 420, for some reason, they couldn't... Like, I guess they couldn't police on a private campus or something? Because literally all of us were out on the front lawn smoking so much weed. I wasn't smoking weed, but... Other people were smoking weed.
I was like, is your mom going to listen to this?
Oh, she knows. She's like, you just make sure and have a little bit because I want you to eat. So, like, oh my gosh. But yeah, it was like, you know, I was like, no, I gotta go meet with the dean. I gotta go meet with the dean. They're like, oh, come on. I'm like, all right. Hit like once, and I was like, oh, it's whatever. I'm fine to go up to meet with the dean. And he's talking about my schedule and my courses that need to be coming up. And I'm like, uh-huh. And he just looks me right in the eyes. You were in the lawn, weren't you? I'm like, yes, sir. Like, all right, well, you need to take these courses. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
That's so funny.
Oh, liberal arts.
I don't think my college wanted to admit that there was such a thing as marijuana.
Denied it.
I mean, it was all over, but none of the people that, like, ran the school would ever sanction such a thing. Mm. I mean, they were against alcohol. Why would they be pro-pot?
Yeah, at this point, though, who knows? Since I graduated, that's for sure. Yeah.
Just wait till my days as a 50-year-old PA.
In the fanny pack!
By the time Strangers with Candy the PA happens, I bet you all 50 states are legal marijuana. And that's only 10 years away.
Something to look forward to when I see you on set.
Yeah, I'm trying to really, like, you know, like, create a vibe of a wacky older lady. I think it's a good thing to go for.
I think you're pretty close. you're on your way.
Yeah.
I like it.
So how did you end up getting an agent in Austin? Like, how did you get connected to it?
Yeah, I just submitted to a whole bunch of different people. Like, I did the Google searching. And
oh, cool. And you went in cold. Cool.
Yeah, and I just submitted what I had, which at the time was a theater resume. Actually, I had booked, before I actually moved to Austin, I auditioned for 3 projects, and I booked all 3 of them. Of course, it was easier back then, I feel like. And then I'm like, how
well,
did
you're
I
21.
Do that? I'm like, yeah, I was so excited and optimistic about life. They're like, oh, I can see it in her eyes. Here we go. And so, yeah, I booked all 3 of those. And yeah, so I had those on my resume. And then after that, yeah, I just, yeah, went from there. Commercials. And I got I did achieve the goal of getting my SAG, what is it? Qualification. So by the age of 25. I didn't join. I'm still eligible. Eligibility, that was the word I was looking for.
Yep.
I'm still eligible, but it's kind of silly to join SAG in Texas until you're absolutely ready, because the whole right to work state thing. Totally. So I would actually lose out on a whole bunch of well-paying commercials if I was SAG right now.
Oh, so probably be better to become SAG if you were to move to LA or New York.
Or, I mean,
something.
Even if, like, I mean, because there's still
or Atlanta.
Some, yeah, Atlanta or New Mexico. If even any of those places were like, hey, we want you to be a lead in this, will you join SAG? I'd be like, okay, done. Because at that point, it's necessary.
Sure.
So until the point that it's necessary, I'm just going to write out the non-union as much as possible. Because you can still get SAG ultra-low budget. You know, you can still do SAG commercials without joining SAG.
Hmm.
You know, there's still a whole bunch of loopholes. But if it actually came down to being on a network show.
Sure.
Yeah. So being SAG eligible, though, helps. So they don't have to get a Taft-Hartley. Which is basically where they're like, you have no eligibility points or whatever, but we really want you, and we have to pay a certain amount of money to make that happen for you.
Oh.
So it's like another weird loophole, which that's about all I know about that loophole. So
interesting. Have you had to deal with the, like, SAG versus non-union stuff in the, like, production work that you've done?
Mm-mm. No, I haven't done anything, like, big enough to have to worry about that. And like I said, Austin, I mean, Texas, it's just not,
so it's not as big a deal.
Yeah.
So it's not like, even if you feel like, I'm just thinking with reference to, like, advice for Texas actors,
mm-hmm.
like thinking about who might listen to this and thinking, like, okay, what, so they should not become SAG because it's just not worth it. But it's good to still do, like, SAG gigs so that you can certainly look, like, have the eligibility.
Mm-hmm. And it does take a certain amount of points. And the point mm-hmm. system, it varies. So it's like if you're like a SAG commercial or if you do a SAG ultra low budget feature, it's like you get a different amount of points.
Do you have to keep track of your own points?
Mm-mm. I just go back every now and then periodically, put in my social security number and make sure I'm still eligible. Still eligible as of right now. I need
to the SAG website?
Yeah.
Do they keep track of everybody?
I mean, I think if they go through, like you actually have to apply for it. Like it has to have all the actors' names that worked on the movie, and then it goes through in a very official way. And
oh,
they sent
I see.
Me a
so
letter
like,
and everything.
So it's like the movie or project submits you as
a person who gets X
and that's
of
how
points.
They how they keep track of the points or whatever.
Oh, whose job is it to keep track of that on
know.
A film
it sounds
set?
Awful.
Well, that's why I thought maybe that would be something that you guys would have to have done. But I guess most of the stuff that you're doing is non-union right now. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if only just because thinking about that, like, I wonder whose job it is to keep track of that kind of stuff, and then like. If you guys did do something that had SAG, because you're talking about potentially doing a screenplay in the future, like, that could come up, and I wonder who's in charge of that kind of stuff. I don't know the answer.
Well, there's a whole application process, I know, to even be a SAG production. You have to be able to meet certain requirements and certain standards, even to be an ultra-low-budget feature.
Oh, right.
So all of that paperwork has to be done, and then once all that's done and you're actually accepted as a SAG ultra-low-budget or whatever... then there's forms that everyone that comes onto the set has to fill out.
Huh.
So I would guess it'd be more of the producer's job.
Yeah,
making
so.
Sure, but like a tie between them and maybe like a second AD or something.
Mm.
Be my guess. Making sure that everyone got it done. That's ADs are just terrifying. I mean, anytime an AD asks me to do something, I'll do it in like 5 seconds. They're terrifying. In a good way. But they have to be, you know? They have to keep everything running on the set while the director's all, like, off in their head being like, oh, I see this happening and this... Like, all right, we need to go. We're losing sunlight. Let's go. So, I mean, they're terrifying.
Oh, I would be good at that.
For good reason. Yes. And they're super organized. And that's why I love it. I really want to be an AD. I want to be a first AD on something. Because I love organization. And I love binders. And I love tabs.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I love calendars. I'm getting hot. Whew! Goodness. My gosh.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Man, now I'm all fascinated. Now I'm going to learn stuff about film and all the parts because I'm going to be interested in all these different things. I'm never going to be able to watch a movie again.
It's a black hole. It's a black
happening.
Hole of knowledge.
Hey, here's a random, totally related, not random at all, question.
I'm scared now.
Do you have a suggestion of a book that I could read that would potentially elucidate some of this information for me? Like you're talking about different kind of producers and AD and PA, and I'd love to, like, I don't know, read up on, like, what are all the different parts and what are their jobs and like, because I've mostly done live theater, and while, yes, I am a writer and I'm writing screenplays, I'm not really writing it. I do a number, many, many creative passes before I then go through with my book of, like, technical, how it has to look, and then I adjust the whole thing.
Organization.
Well, I bought this book that Dave Ward suggested to me about format. Because I was like, I sent him a message. I sent him random texts all the time about stuff. Even parenting, because he had the baby.
I know!
He had the baby a little bit before me, so his daughter's a little bit older than my son. But so occasionally I'll be like, hey, what do you do if this happens, he suggests. Because, you know, he's always been... a good person for me to, you know, ask questions to. And so I was writing the screenplay, and I'd done 3 or 4 versions of this one that I've been working on. I sort of call it my tester, because it's like, I just needed to... Can I write 120 pages? Yes, yes, turns out I can. It's not awesome. I'm not going to give it to anyone. I'm going to rip it apart into multiple things.
No.
Oh, goodness, weird. There's a knock on the
door.
Is
this like Mr. Rogers? Do we have a visitor?
Wouldn't that be weird?
Who knows? What time is it right now? Oh, it's packages.
Oh, that's exciting.
Maybe.
It's like Christmas.
I'm just feeling the packages.
Shaking it.
Right.
It's your package. You could have opened it. It's fine.
It's fine. I don't need to open it right now. Neither one of them are for me. They're for my husband, so I don't actually need
that's
to know.
Fair.
But yeah, so Dave suggested a book for me that had, you know, script... specifics, like how it needed to look and how you set it up and just, you know, just the format stuff. And so I bought it and went through it and felt like I was pretty confident, and then went through my I also write on using the Celtics program. The good thing about it is that it sets it up in PDF format, and it also sets it up where you get all the headings properly and all that kind of
that
stuff, and it like looks great, but it doesn't like auto do it the way I hear Final Draft does. Like, it doesn't like automatically
So, like, I had to know what it needed to look like, and then I could choose the proper headings and set it up the right way. So, it was weird, and I got over that hump. But I still don't actually know what really it requires to make, like, all the jobs and stuff like that. So I wondered if there was a book or a resource or anything like that. If there is a
book that has all of that, I would like to read it, too. Basically,
I mean, I'm sure there's some, like, brightly colored, like, I'm going to have to buy it at a Barnes & Noble's where no one knows me kind of book where it's like, how to make a movie. And it's got, like, the comedy and the tragedy face on it. And it's written by, like, some comedian from the 90s who you're like, oh, I remember her. Wasn't she, like, the third person they let go from that 1994 SNL cast? Like, it's that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't know. For me, it's all been... experience is the best source of knowledge. Sorry, that's the quote that I have on my giant calendar right now.
Ooh! Yes.
But that's just kind of how I felt about it. Like, it's always been... I could read and read and read about some of these things, and that's how it would happen, is I would talk about it, and then he would say something, and I would go and look it up, and I would read article after article or try and find the source on it. But then when it came down to it, I wouldn't fully understand exactly what it was on the camera that I was trying to figure out until I messed with the camera. Or until I was actually faced with a sound issue that I'd been learning, trying to figure out, or how to take out this excess noise or whatever, until I actually had to do it. Otherwise, it's just words, you know? Like, oh, you have to do this, and you go into the audio spot, and you go into the effect controls, and you blah, 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 and it's just like words, 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 until you actually do what you have to do. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the actual action of, like, editing film and stuff, or, you know, like, my husband's tried to teach me 5 or 6 times, and I stare at it, and I'm like, I don't know what that is. So, he got a new camera, like, he got a new, like, GoPro or something, and he filmed a bunch of random stuff, and I was like, give me that footage, I need to practice editing. So, like, what, he's gone this whole week. And so my, like, goal is to, like, go on his computer during the evenings when the baby's asleep and, like, figure out how to edit. Because I have it all written down.
Lynda.com does do a 30-day, I think it's 30 days. Might be 60. It's either 30 or 60 days free. And I say rock that and rock it hard.
Lynda.com?
It's Lynda, Lynda.com. And they have... It's basically online courses on any topic you could possibly think of.
Oh.
And so you can do one on Premiere Pro, or I don't know which editing software you're using. But I did use that as a source whenever I was first starting out, just trying to, like, really watch while they did it. Because they'll, you know, screen it, and then you can watch what they do and all of that stuff. So that one definitely helped a whole lot. Otherwise, it's, yeah, finding your problem. And then once you have your problem, finding the solution from there, you know, so it's not like a general knowledge book. But if you find a general knowledge book, or if anyone suggests one, I would really like it myself.
Yeah, well, I'll probably do some research to include with the episode.
I like that you're a book person.
Well,
I'm a book person.
The trouble with the internet is that there's really no way for you to know what's real and what's not. And I don't mean that in a fake news way. Like, I felt that way long before the phrase fake news became a thing.
Yeah.
And also, like, the fact that people are aghast that people lie makes me laugh every day.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, actual, like, knowledge on topics or things like that, I like the idea of the online courses because that's legit. How are they going to teach me something if it's wrong? But, I mean...
Are you using Premiere, well, though?
I don't think it.
No?
I don't think... It's Adobe.
Adobe. Yeah, it's Adobe Premiere. And they have... They're great sources. They answer a lot of questions on the actual Adobe website. So if you search and pull that up, that's why I do that a lot, too.
Yeah. I also like books because a lot of times it'll have, like, a person's perspective.
Mm.
You know? Like that, you know, wacky 90s gal who...
You really want this to be a thing. You really want this to be a thing.
She's a thing.
She lives in my heart and my soul.
She's there.
And in my fanny pack whenever I'm a PA on a set.
I'm telling you.
I'll pull out the book.
Yeah, the story of me as a 50-year-old PA is 100% a play by Wendy Wasserstein. I'm just telling you. It's about feminism, guys. 90s feminism.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, super fun. Wow. Well, thanks for
sitting with me and chatting.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
It's fun. I'm doing another podcast on Wednesday.
So look at you.
Good warm up here.
Yeah, who knows?
They can how to do this.
I don't know which podcast it is or when they are going to put your episode out, but hopefully mine is first.
I think he's got several interviews going on. It's called Imaginary Worlds or something. I don't know. It's about the Westworld thing, so.
Oh, we
didn't cover any of that, so it works out.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about Westworld, but only in the idea of casting, which was a fascinating little tidbit there. Yeah. No, it's super cool. I'm glad that things are going so well for you, and not only am I glad that things are going so well for you, but I'm glad that you're like infusing your talent further into the Austin scene. Like, because I imagined for sure that you'd be gone at some point. You know what I mean? Like, in a good way. Aww. Most of the people. I mean, plus a significant portion of the crowd that we first met in is gone to
LA.
Is gone to LA. I mean, practically. If we brought the band back together, it'd be a very small party.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I've been to that party.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, it's just, a lot of people have gone to LA, and I thought for sure you were going to go to LA. But I like the fact that you're, like, here, and you're really making, you know, projects for yourself and for other Austinites. Like, just the more projects that are created here, the more the great actors that I know don't have to leave.
Yeah. I'm just not an LA girl. If I'm going either coast, it'd be New York. And that's just, again, too expensive. And I love Austin, and I love the scene. And, I've just built my life up too much here to leave, honestly. Yeah. I just know too many people. I've networked too much. Like, the thought of starting all of that over again, it's hefty. Especially now with all the production side of it. I'm just like, I would not want to start again.
yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. I feel like for me, like, I've moved from crowd to crowd, like, throughout my life. So I kind of am like, yeah, it's all right. Like, maybe I'll, like, in fact, right now I'm like trying to figure out where my like other moms are gonna be.
Yeah,
I'm like researching places I can go that I'm gonna meet moms that I want to talk to, because like a lot of times there's no way to know if they're going to be horrible. Moms at mom groups tend to be not the best people. But you know, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it would be, like, I love meeting new people, of course, like, meeting new people. But if I had to, like, produce something tomorrow, I can, at the drop of a hat, think of, like, 6 people I can have on my crew. You know, like, email and know that they would be ready and know that they would want to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, if I try and do that in L.A., I can't think of anyone, so.
Yeah.
Except for the old band, which they're probably too busy now.
Yeah, the old band's got a lot going on.
Yeah, they do.
But that's okay, because someday we'll go to a movie and we'll go, oh my god, look!
Look! Oh, and Amy was actually a PA on that. She gave that guy a Band-Aid.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Yes But Why Podcast.